Good evening, folks. Glad you're tuning in tonight. We'll give everyone just a second to log in and join us by Facebook or YouTube tonight. If you're representing a church tonight, we ask that you take the moment to share this stream with your fellow church members, and maybe you have somebody that you are friends with on Facebook or some other means. Send them a link to this tonight. If you've had them under your heart that they're lost and they don't know Christ as their Savior, we ask that you share this with them tonight. Encourage them. Let God speak to their hearts tonight through God's messenger. Tonight we have Pastor Josh Osteen from First Baptist Pennington, and he's going to come and preach tonight. But I'm going to start us in a word of prayer. Before I do that, we do encourage you to interact with the stream. If you have a prayer need, you can comment it in any of the churches that share it, and we'll see it, and we'll make sure that we specifically pray for that need. And if you deal with at any time during the service or any time during these revival meetings that the Lord starts dealing with your heart, I encourage you to reach out to your pastor. We'll also have some information on the stream tonight to where you can message us, and we will get somebody to be in contact with you. Pastors that are watching, church members, Christians that are watching, encourage one another tonight. This is what it's all about. We're coming in to a different type of age right now, and we're just trying to come together and encourage one another on the back side of this, that we'll go through this phase better than what we come into it. And we're expecting God to do miraculous things in our county. Let's open up in a word of prayer, and then we'll turn it over to Brother Josh. Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just come to you tonight. We're just thankful for another day that you've given us, Lord, and we thank you for all the souls that have been reached this week, Lord. Lord, I pray that we have done what you've asked us to do, and then that's encouraging and preaching your word this week. Lord, I pray for Brother Josh tonight, Lord, that you'll anoint him with your sweet Holy Spirit. Lord, give him the words that you would have him to preach. And Lord, preach him like you've never preached him before. This is different. So Lord, I just ask you to give him a peace of mind the spirit to be able to preach your message tonight. Lord, we ask for a hedge of protection around each home that is watching this tonight, Lord. Lord, will there be no distractions nor interference. And Lord, we're praying and we're claiming that at least one be saved in all of this, Lord. And we know through your word that heaven will rejoice over that one soul. So, Lord, we'll celebrate that together. But, Lord, we love you. We're just asking you to have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim. Appreciate that. Boy, we sure do appreciate those that have put this revival together. What an opportunity we have to reach out during this time. I know that this is a different time in each of our lives. Trust me, there's many times I've thought to myself, what am I going to do with no church? And, of course, with the news we had today of a 70-day stay-at-home order, of course, all of us as pastors are thinking and wondering within our hearts what exactly is going to take place. But we're going to continue to trust God and know that he has a plan, to know that he's going to work things out. Appreciate Brother Doug last night. What a great job he did preaching. Appreciate Brother Tim as he's preaching, and the other man that's preached as well. We know God has used those messages in a great way. And boy, I have enjoyed this revival greatly. It's only in the third day here, but we know that God has used it in many lives. I've seen many, many people have been watching and have been watching live and also watching later, and we sure are thankful for those that have come. There's several things in my life that I never thought I would be doing, one of which would be preaching. I am from New Mexico. I was the son of a missionary kid. Those from my church know these stories, but many people may not need. talking to people. I hated public speaking. I was a quiet man. When my grandmother would try to hug me, I would run the other way. I would hide. I couldn't talk to people. And when I did talk, I typically said the wrong thing. My parents, when I was growing up, they said, Joshua, don't say anything unless you tell us first. Don't even say anything to anybody unless you've told me what you're going to say, because when I opened my mouth, I said the wrong thing. I went to college and was studying criminal justice. The Lord got a hold of my heart, to make a very long story short. I ended up changing my major after several years, and the Lord put in my heart the burden to preach. I'm the first pastor of First Baptist Church in Pennington. Been there almost 12 years, coming this fall. It'll be 12 years at First Baptist Church, and God has worked in my life and in the life of the church, and we sure are appreciative to many who are watching from our church tonight. But when I first went to college, after I changed my major, I had a speech to give, and I was told I could go 1 minute and 15 seconds. I went back to my dorm room, and I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, if you'll help me with this speech, I will become a pastor. Boy, did I pay for that. He remembered. I forgot, and the Lord helped me get through the speech. I went 50 seconds in that speech. Got docked for going too short, but the Lord remembered my promise to him, worked in my heart, and he made me a pastor. You know, I know many of you have been at home, many of you are not at work, and we're asking ourselves as Christians, what can I do during this time? We have the idea that since we're not able to gather together in the churches, we think, well, maybe I can't do anything for God. Maybe there's nothing that can be done if I'm not there, if I can't plan for this, if I can't teach my class, or if I'm not able to preach in the church, that I can't do anything for God. Well, tonight, I want to share with you the message that God put on my heart of what you can do. And if we as Christians will do these things, I promise you, you will see great fruit in your walk with the Lord. You can see great fruit in this county. You can see great things that God can do if we will put into practice what God has asked us to do. The subject that I'm going to speak to you tonight is a subject that I feel, as a pastor, that is neglected in the lives of Christians. How many times do you meet someone that you know, and you're walking down the street and you run into them and you say, how are you doing? And they answer back and talk for just a moment, and then you say, hey, I'm praying for you, but you don't pray for that person. Many times you'll tell people that there's something that's going on in their life, and you'll say, oh, I'm going to pray about that, or I'm praying about that. Really, how often do we actually pray about those things? One verse I want to share with you tonight, 1 John chapter number 5, the Bible says in verse number 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And verse number 15 says, and we know that he hear us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. The Bible tells us that God hears our requests. You know, we see the president on television each and every day. And I would imagine, and I don't know if you're like me, but I would imagine if the president of the United States called your phone and you had the opportunity to talk to Donald Trump, boy, you'd be so excited. And when you talk to him, you tell everybody you've been talking to the president, and the president allowed you to talk to him, and you told him what your day was like and different things. And you would call your friends. You would call your mom and dad. You would call your friends and say, I have spoken to the president. Well, my friends, as a Christian, you have the opportunity not to talk to the president, but to talk to the creator of the universe, the one that the Bible tells you he spoke and it was so in the book of Exodus. The Bible tells us by the worlds were framed by the words of his very mouth, that he spoke the world into existence. He designed this human body. And the Bible tells us that you have access to pray and to talk to God, who is the creator of the entire universe. And yet we sit home, we fret, we worry, we plan, we desire, and we don't go to God in prayer. We don't seek his face. We don't seek for his power. We don't seek for his strength as we preach. We don't seek for his understanding as we raise our children. We don't seek for his wisdom for what's going on in the world. We do our own thing. And that, my friend, is simply the truth. I've read a statement that I've quoted before, that the third phrase that's in the Lord's Prayer that says, "Not my will, but thine be done," is repeated every day by millions of people who have not the slightest willingness to do anybody's will but their very own. And so I got just a few points for us tonight on prayer to understand the importance of prayer. A man by the name of John Simkis says this: "A servant may stand boldly before a man, but mentally he is knocking at the gates of heaven in prayer." Oswald Chambers, who wrote great devotional books that I still read from time to time, he says this: "Prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work." He continues on by saying, "Our ordinary views of prayer are not found in the New Testament. We look upon prayer as a means of getting something for ourselves. The Bible idea of prayer is that we may get to know God." One more quote, E.M. Bounds says this: "The church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come upon machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men. Men of prayer. People who pray, who are seeking God." One more author said, "The church has not yet touched the fringe of the possibility of intercessory prayer. Her largest victories will be witnessed when individual Christians everywhere come to recognize the priesthood unto God and day by day give themselves to prayer." Just a few quick points for us tonight. What happens when we pray? I challenge you, Christians, in this community and in your families, to go to God in prayer. God can work in your life. The first thing that's going to happen as you begin to pray, you're going to pray, you'll find this: number one, prayer is a sin killer. Prayer is a sin killer. It is impossible to sin and pray. Praying will either make us cease from sinning, or sin will keep us from praying, help us cease from praying. Psalms chapter 51 in verse number 10, when David is crying unto the Lord, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord." Prayer is a sin killer. In your life, as you begin to pray and you begin to seek God, you're going to find you have those less desires to sin. You're going to find that God's controlling your life in a greater way because you are drawing strength from Him. Prayer is a sin killer. You know, in our barn, we live on Miller's Chapel Road in Jonesville. In our barn, we have a little brick. It's called a bite bar. And it's a brick of poison for the rats that come into the barn. And those rats, they shimmy out of off those eaves of that barn, and they run down through the barn, and they run into that big bite bar, and they eat it, all right? I know they eat it because I see that it diminishes each and every day, and they take bites of that, and they think, "Boy, I've had something so great, and I imagine it must taste delicious," and they waddle off full of it, and they die. They didn't realize what they were eating was actually poison. My friend, you see, preachers, they just don't want us to have any fun. They want us to pray so we quit sinning, but if I quit sinning, my life will be boring. My friend, the reason preachers and the reason God wants you to quit sinning is because sin is poison to you. It kills you. It's hurting your life. Tell me one thing that sin has done good for you. Tell me one positive thing that's come out of your life because of a sin that has continued. It has not brought anything positive to your life. And so as you begin to pray, you can have a prayer of forgiveness. As David prayed in Psalms 51, he says, "Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, but let my sin that is ever before me forgive me of those sins and to help me walk with you in the way that I should." Sin doesn't help you, it hurts you. It's hurting your life. It's hurting your decisions you're making. The grudges you may have, those are hurting your relationship with other people. The bitterness that you're holding in your heart, they're hurting your walk with the Lord. The hatred or whatever it may be, or maybe the sins that nobody else knows about. My friend, they are poison to you and they are killing you. If you want to have a prayer life, you need to get those sins taken care of before the Lord. And the Bible tells us if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Prayer is a sin killer. The second thing we see about prayer is we are going to look at some more passages in just a little bit, but prayer brings power
in our lives. Prayer brings power in our lives. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. I mean, this is just complete honesty. There has been times I've preached without praying. You want to know how that went? Terrible, all right? It didn't go good. There was times you're too busy, you've got so much going on, and you've not had time to pray like you should have, and you have preached a message, and nothing happened. Boy, you said all the right words. You went to all the same verses. You tried your best to make it energetic, but you know in your heart, men's heart weren't moved. Why? Because you weren't praying. You weren't seeking for the power of God. I'm telling you, we live in a world today that is so caught up. I mean, this is just the truth. We live in a world today that is so good and so caught up at manufacturing the Holy Spirit. We manufacture it. We'll make a Holy Spirit. I'm going to twist the will of man through music or through emotional uptake or through whatever it may be. I'm going to twist your will by whatever it may be. Those are man's methods. We are so far removed in our churches in America from simply asking God to do something. Simply saying, God, I can't do it without you. You have to do it. A very well-known preacher, Jonathan Edwards, had big, thick glasses. And I know there's some controversial things about him, but he didn't do anything special. He wasn't a great speaker. He stood there and he read his messages. And people were saved. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was working. The power of God comes through prayer. That's where the power of God is. Think of Elijah in the Old Testament that turned off the faucets of heaven that it would not rain through prayer. James, you may not know, but he was called Mr. Camel Knees because of the time he spent in prayer. One of my favorite men of the faith, George Mueller, he ran an orphanage for young children. And George Mueller, they would go to him in the evenings and they would say, Mr. Mueller, the children have no food, Mr. Mueller. But can we send a letter to the churches? He'd say, don't you send a letter to those churches. Don't you tell anybody what we need. I will tell God what we need, and he will take care of us. And Mr. Mueller, one night, the children in the orphanage had no food, and they had come to him and said, Mr. Mueller, please, would you let us tell him? He said, no. He went up and began to pray there in his office. 3 minutes later, a knock on his door, on the door of the orphanage. A milk wagon broke down in front of the orphanage. And the man said, sir, this milk is going to spoil. If I don't give it away, could you use it for these orphan kids? And he gave all the milk to the orphans. They were fed. No one knew but God. George Mueller prayed in, it is estimated, $7.5 million were prayed in by George Mueller, never asking anybody but God. George Mueller kept a book where he would record the answers to prayer, which I think is a good idea. We're so far from that. We oftentimes just pray and forget about it and just go on. It's almost like we don't even think God's going to do anything. We're like, oh, I'll take it to God, and then we just go on. That's not prayer. George Mueller recorded 50,000 times where he prayed and God answered. 50,000 times George Mueller recorded where he prayed. Prayer brings power. I'm just going to tell you a few more stories. A man by the name of John Hyde. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He was nicknamed Praying Hyde. He was a missionary in India. He went to India, didn't even know the language in India, but he knew how to pray. John Hyde, true story, prayed all through the night and would preach all the next day. John Hyde, true story, prayed so much that his heart literally shifted from his chest. But in the middle of his ministry, John Hyde in India led 4 people a day to Christ. He would pray all night and witness and preach all day. 4 people a day to the Lord after praying. Hudson Taylor, China Inland Missions, prayed for missionaries to come to China. He was one of the first ones to go to China as a missionary. The father of missions, many would say. And he goes and he begins to pray. He says, Lord, I'm the only one here. I'm the only one doing anything. Would you send me a missionary? The Lord answered that prayer and sent 800 missionaries to China. H.A. Ironside in the 1900s, the founder, one of the founders of Dallas Theological Seminary in Texas. As you may not know, but the seminary one day was close to closing down, and he called some pastors together, and they began to pray, and H.A. Ironside was praying, and he said, "Lord, your word tells me that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Would you sell some of those things and give us the money?" About when he finished the prayer, the door to his office, his secretary began to knock, and he said, "Go away, we're in the middle of prayer." And she said, "Sir, you need to hear this." Well, he said, "What is it?" He asked for it to be excused. He walked out. No joke, a cowboy is standing in his office, spurs still on his legs. And he says, "Mr. Ironside, God told me to sell my herd of cattle and give them to you. Here's the money." And kept the seminary open. Why is this not happening today? Why? Oh, God's changed. God just don't do that anymore. I tell you what's changed. God ain't changed. We've changed. We've quit praying. We've quit trusting. We're so caught up in our own ideas and our own ways, we've quit expecting God to do anything. We may talk to God one or two times, and we go on. Last year, I weighed about 30 pounds less than I do. I have kidney cancer in my right kidney. I have 7 tumors that were removed from me exactly a year ago. I had 7 tumors removed from my left kidney. And people prayed for me and prayed for me. And I don't have time to tell you all the times that God put things together. And I would look back and I'd say, only you can do what just happened. Because God's people prayed. The power of the Christian is in prayer. That's why one well-known author said, "I would rather train 20 men to pray than 1,000 to preach." I'd rather have 20 men or 20 pastors that would know how to pray than 1,000 to preach. John A. Harden says this, "Those who do not believe do not pray." If you begin to pray, you'll realize prayer is a sin killer. If you begin to pray, you'll see prayer brings the power in your life. Prayer is the hand that touches the hem of the garment of divine grace. And the life that is the divine one that's flowing to us comes through prayer. Prayer kills sin. Prayer brings power. Number three, prayer brings victory. I promote this book all the time in my church. And if anyone from my church is listening, of course, they will recognize this book. John Bunyan, a great Puritan Christian man, wrote a book called Pilgrim's Progress, which coincidentally, as I mentioned in my sermon at the church a couple weeks ago, was written by him while he was in prison, right? And I know we aren't in prison right now, but we are self-isolating and we're quarantining. And he found himself in that position, and he began to write a book called Pilgrim's Progress. And the man in the book named Christian was on a journey, and he carried a burden with him. And he found that the only way the burden could be lifted was at the cross, and the burden comes off. And then the book continues on. And the young Christian is going through a journey such as we are today, a life that we're living. And the book spells out the understanding that the Christian in the book found that the only weapon that was sufficient to wound the adversary was the weapon of prayer. The weapon of prayer. Let me tell you something. If you think that you are too good of a Christian to pray, let me remind you of someone who prayed an awful lot, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, you'd always see, he would slip away to pray. He would slip away to pray. And my friends, if God in the flesh needs to pray, you and I need to pray as well. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying that night. He says, "Let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, thy will be done." We understand that as Christ went and was arrested right soon after that prayer, and as he was beaten, and as he had the crown of thorns, and as the nails went through his hands, and as he died upon the cross, why was he able to bear those things? Here's why. Because it was settled in prayer the nights before. That's where it got settled. He said, Lord, if this is your will, I will do this. And then he goes through all the agony that we go through. That was settled in prayer. It brought the victory. Prayer can bring victory into your life. James tells us the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do I need to remind you what God has told us about prayer? He says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that you may find help. What, does that sound familiar? In grace, in the time of need? Do we not need help now? Do we not need grace? Are we not in need? Do I not need to remind you that when Christ died upon the cross, that in the temple across town, the veil is rent, and no longer do you have to have some priest once a year going in there for you, but through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are given access to the very throne of God through prayer. Prayer brings victory in your life. If you have a burden, pray to God and keep praying to God, asking God to work in your life. Other quotes that I have brought with me. I love quotes, by the way. When a Christian sons fellowship with other Christians, the devil smiles. When he stops studying the Bible, the devil laughs. But when he stops praying, the devil shouts for joy. Another well-known preacher said, I have so much to do that I spend several hours in prayer before I'm able to do them. Andrew Murray says this, some people pray just to pray. Some people pray to know God. One last quote, there's a mighty lot of difference between saying prayers and praying. Prayer is a sin killer. Prayer brings power in your life. Prayer brings victory. Whatever your problem you may have in your life, God can give you victory to these things. If you have a Bible, I know I've quoted a lot of verses, and I'm not gone to a specific passage yet, but we are now. If you go to Luke chapter number 11, and I mentioned Christ, and I mentioned his prayer life, and we'll look for a moment at a passage that is familiar to you in Luke chapter number 11. And yes, all that was introduction, all right, to get us. No, it wasn't. In Luke chapter number 11. And it says here, once again, if you have a red letter Bible, whatever you think about those different things, you'll see the first verse is in black, and immediately in verse number 2, the words turn to red. A very familiar portion of Scripture, and Christ is going to teach on prayer. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples came unto him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now notice here, they didn't say teach us to preach. They didn't say teach us to plan. They didn't say teach us how to take the shortcuts and the different highways, or teach us how to walk on water, or teach us how to heal. They didn't say any of those things. They said, we want to know how to pray. We want to know how to pray. Oh, Christian, if you'd learn how to pray, if you'd learn how to pray what you could see from God, preacher tonight, if you'd learn how to pray what you could see from God, if you could learn to seek him like you should be, boy, you'd see God do some great things. And they come to Christ and they say, teach me to pray. That's what I want. And he said, and we see there a little portion of the Lord's Prayer, which we aren't going to go into as we read verse number 2. And he said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. And there's several messages we could talk about the Lord's Prayer. I have two messages on this portion of Scripture that I didn't bring tonight. But the end of the messages of this passage is actually what I want to spend time on. And he said unto them, verse 5 is where I am, Jesus gives an illustration on prayer. I mean, I don't know about you, but when he gives an illustration on prayer, I want to know what he's going to. I mean, I love illustrations. I love quotes. You saw I read tons of them tonight. But I want to know what Jesus says about prayer. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is his journey and come unto me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now, just so you understand the setting here, okay? There's two homes in Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 5. And one home is going to be a representation of God. And one home is going to be a representation of you. You are the friend or the person that had someone come visit them in the middle of the night. And the other home is a representation of someone you go to. Verse 6, a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give thee. So basically, this is how the story sets up. IGA is closed. Food City is done. Walmart closes at 1. Now they close at 8 in the evening. And you have someone come and visit you, and you have nothing to feed them. You're out of everything. You go to your neighbor and you say, you knock on the door and they say, is that you down there, Josh? Yeah, it's me. I was wondering if you have some bread that I can feed my friend. And they yell back and they say, Josh, go away. We are asleep. Walmart's going to open in the morning. You can go get some food. The kids are in bed. Go away. We're in bed. I know sometimes my kids will come in the middle of the night, you know, Dad, Dad, go back to bed. Go back to bed. We'll deal with it in the morning. And so this is what happens in verse number 7. It says, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. And then he says in verse 8, remember, this is not my illustration. This is Christ's illustration. This is what he is giving. He is teaching the disciples how to pray. He goes through a portion of the Lord's Prayer, and this is the example of it. And it says, and he from within, verse 7, now verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his, and I love this word, importunity. You know what that means? That means this. After I was told to go away, I knocked again. I really need this bread. I really need it. Go away, Josh. Go away. I need it. Please. I need this. And he kept knocking until finally the neighbor says, okay, I'm going to answer your request. Here's some bread. And he says to him, that's what he says. He says, saying to you that though he will not rise because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. My friends, you know what God expects us in prayer? You may come to him and say, God, I've got a loved one's not saved. Would you save them? A week goes by, they don't get saved. Go back again. God, it's me again. Boy, I don't know what to do about this coronavirus. I'm worried. God, and you go back again. God, work something. Help me in my life. And you keep knocking. You keep going to the Lord and keep asking of him. In the Bible, this is Christ's illustration. He says the request is answered because of the persistence. I've often wondered this in my own life. How many times have I not seen what God was going to do because I quit knocking and started doing my own plan? How many times did I fall back on plan B instead of seeing what God was going to do and I quit knocking? I tell this story in my church. There's a man that was saved last year. I was thrown off of his porch more times than I can count. Every evangelist, every preacher, every person that ever visited the church, I would take to see this man. And he didn't get saved. Oh, I tried every angle. I tried this angle. I'd talk about his mother, and I'd talk about this. I would even take people and park around the corner and hide, and they would walk up the street just like it was any other day to knock on this guy's door, and he never, never was saved. 11 years, I visited him more than anybody. He would never get saved. We begin to pray at our church, begin to pray, Lord, he needs you. He's getting older. He's going to die. He's going to die. And I was sitting in my office one day, and the Lord said, Josh, why don't you walk down there and see him? I said, right now. I mean, it's not right now. I mean, I'm getting ready for something. Go on down there and see him. I literally walked. I didn't even drive. I left the church there in town. I walked down the sidewalk, went down the street, walked there, and I knocked on the door, and his wife answers, and she says, he's back at the kitchen table. I walked back there, said his name. I talked to him, and I said the same thing I'd said every time. I said, sir, you know you need to be saved. He didn't say nothing to me. Nothing. And I expected. I almost was just waiting for him to say, get out of here, like he had every other time. I don't want to talk about it. And I began to look at him. And all of a sudden, these tears came down his face. An 80-year-old man began to weep and weep and weep. He was weeping. I'm weeping. No one's even said anything yet, hardly. I've just said, you know you need to be saved. He's just weeping and weeping and weeping, and he can't even talk. And after literally 5 minutes of just watching him cry, he says, I know I need to be saved. And right there at that kitchen table, this man prayed and accepted Christ as his Savior. My friend, what, boy, you must have really had the great tone of voice that day, Josh. Boy, you were really good. I didn't do nothing. I walked and I said the same thing I've always said. You know what the difference was? The Holy Spirit of God. People were praying. God's people were seeking him, and he was working, and we kept asking, and we kept asking, and we kept asking, and God heard and answers those requests. That's why the Bible says the effectual what? Fervent prayer availeth much. Don't quit praying. Christian, let me tell you something. There has been great preachers that have had great ministries, and then somebody that was praying for them would die and their ministry would just go to nothing. Because it wasn't them. It was the little lady that was praying in her home that God was answering her prayers upon that person. You know what we need, Christians, during this time? And I know that you're at home. I don't know when's the next time we're going to be able to get together in our actual churches. But I can promise you what. If you can begin to pray when you do come back together, you'll have a church service like no other if you get the power of God. If you'll get that sin out of your life, if you'll say, God, give us your power. I'm sick of playing games. I'm sick of playing patty cake Christianity. I'm sick of all these little frills and things. I want God. I want his power. We've not seen God really do something. I mean, really do something. I've read stories of revivals in certain towns, and this was before Facebook, okay? This is before email and television, all these things. And these people would show up in the town, and they'd say, why are you here? You just walked 100 miles to come to this revival service. He said, why are you here? And you know what they said? Something told me to come, and I came. See, God can do great things. Pray for power. Pray for victory. Don't give up. Psalms chapter 145 and verse number 18. Psalms chapter 145 and verse number 18 says this. I'm almost there. Psalms 145 and verse number 18, he says this. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, and to all that call upon him in truth. Do you want to see God do something in your life? Do you want to see God move in your church? Do you want to see God move in your family? Do you want to see something that's of God? Here's how it's going to happen. You got to start praying. You got to start seeking him like you've never sought before. Just as Christ says, he says, keep knocking. Keep praying. Keep asking of God that he would do a great, great work. Christian, while you're at home during this time, get your family and pray with them. Preacher, get your churches to start praying. And get praying yourself that God would do something. I'm telling you what, we've seen just a little fraction of what God's great power. Remember what we started with? Remember who this is we're talking to here. Remember who it is. It's not just the president. We're talking the creator of the universe that just by a word could put a planet where it sits. Just by a word, he can form the human body. He can speak into existence. Oh, the great power of God that we can see as Christians can begin to pray. So I pray that during this time of the rest of this revival, you will pray. I pray during the time of your home, you will pray. You know, I was walking this afternoon before I came here and just spending time in prayer, and I was thinking what would be a help to many is just get yourself, and you may already have this, a personal prayer list that you keep in your pocket and pull it out and just pray for those things every day and ask God to do something. Now, let me tell you one more thing and we're done. Pray in faith. Prayer is not just something we just say out of our mouth. Actually think and believe in your heart that God's going to do something. You know what? When you pray like that, that's the kind of prayer that gives God the glory. I don't want to make a name for myself. I want to make a name for God. And that's the reason I think we don't see a lot of answered prayers, is because a lot of our prayers are simply selfish. We're trying to make a name for ourselves or do something great for ourselves that we would get glory. You want to know when you're really going to see God work is when your prayers are focused on things that are going to bring him the glory for what he's going to do. So let's put him in a position where he gets the glory for all that he's done, and let's trust him to do those things. I want you to commit to pray for this revival for the rest of this week. I want you to commit to pray for our churches. Pray for these pastors that have a lot of decisions to make in the coming weeks about how we're going to handle things. Pray for those that are in sin. Pray for those that need addiction recovery. Pray for those that they will see the power and the strength of God. And pray for Christians that we will come through this time showing forth the greatness of our God. I encourage you to continue to tune in every night to this revival. Tomorrow, Brother Ronnie Owens is preaching. Tune in tomorrow at 7 o'clock. But what I want to do at this time, if you're there at home, why don't you bow your heads with me, and let's just take a moment to pray right now. Maybe you got some sin in your life. Maybe you need to say, God, oh, I need to get these things out of my life. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need some power, some strength, or some understanding. Maybe you've just not been continuing to trust God in your prayers. Take a moment there, bow your heads, and let's pray together. Father, you are the great God. We believe in you. We believe in your power and your strength and your glory and your greatness and your goodness. The Bible tells us there is none like you. None. There is nowhere we can go that we can be away from you. Lord, you are everywhere and you know all things. Oh, Father, put in our hearts a desire to see you work again. Put in our hearts, Father, to make a name for you and not for ourselves. Put in our hearts, Father, that we would see your glory and your grace and your power, that we would see more clearly our need for your Son, that we would live by you in all areas of our lives. Forgive us. Oh, forgive us for being so foolish, for trusting in ourselves. How foolish we are, God. Forgive us, forgive us, forgive us of these things. And put our faith, help us to put our faith where it belongs, which is in you. May the prayers we pray in our lives, may it remove the sins from our lives. May it bring us victory for things we're going through. May we see your power in our ministries, in our families, and in all that we do. May we see the working of a living God, for we know that you can do all things. And Father, give us the faith. As the illustration we've heard tonight, give us the faith to keep asking. Give us the faith to not quit. Lord, there's times we're frail, we get discouraged, but Father, give us the faith to say, God, we're continuing to trust you. We ask these things in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This will conclude the services for tonight. Join us again tomorrow night at 7 o'clock and each night this week at 7 o'clock. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you guys for coming. Thank you all for coming. I appreciate you.